it's not all the way up in there. Okay, everything looks good back here. Okay. Let's take it away. Okay. So give you and let's see, myself and Marika is not here and occasionally Melissa will all be doing checking of the transcriptions. So this is the second pass transcriptions you're receiving and that's pretty straightforward. I think you'll basically have an idea of what's involved. But the extra step that we're asking you to do in this case is to look at the silent regions and listen to them for each channel and make sure that no back channels were lost, for example. Back channels is what you typically would find, although by and large these are going to be silent. So so you can start checking by, well, you know, you can order it in any way you like, but start with the first channel and go through it entirely. I would recommend, I've found that it's easier when you're checking and you're trying to make sure the boundaries are right for a speech segment. I would recommend, like say this one, go down here to the transcription tier and select that so that when you play, you're certain that when it stops, you've caught the whole speech signal for that utterance and haven't lost any signal information. Otherwise, it's liable to keep on running and you might not notice where it finishes. So it takes a little time, but alternatively, you could just listen to the speech segments again and make sure everything's correct for those. And so you could just hit...
Well, hi everyone again.
And then...
like before, we...
like that. And then go back and check the silence regions. If you want to make your job a little more interesting, do it in different ways on a different day, as long as it gets done. So
we're checking what's actually being transcribed already, as well as the silence.
Yeah, you're doing, so that's the role of the checker, is to check what's said in the silent region, in the speech regions, and then make sure nothing's lost in silent regions. You're also responsible for resolving any uncertainties that were marked by the original transcriber.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, of course, there are going to be many situations where you, like the first transcriber, can't make any sense of it. And in that case, it will be up to you to use the at symbol. And that can be used to represent one unintelligible word or multiple intelligible words, but just use one at symbol. Yeah, exactly. And so that once you go through all the speech regions and all the non-speech regions, and that you could make another step of doing a search using going under the edit menu, you can do a search for find a place for open parentheses, and that'll take you to that the first transcriber might have marked out, so there's one, and then you can just resolve those all one by one as a different set of changes together. And likewise for the double question marks. Just once you've gone through and resolved all the open parentheses, you can do the same for double question marks. And like I said, if you can't make any sense of it, then just use the at symbol. If you can, just give it your best guess in these cases.
How much would you want? I had a few times where I thought, well, it could be this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not entirely sure that it could be, because it could be a combination of something else, then put the guess down or leave it as ambiguous in some way.
Yeah, it's... I would, if you're quite certain, then I would go ahead and type what you think it was said. If you think that
There's a chance
maybe
that
30% chance you're wrong or more.
It's usually a context problem because
Yeah.
I think
Yeah.
sometimes if it's not intelligible, you either tend to, because you really want it to fit the context, you tend to take the closest actual word that would fit the context. Or if it sometimes it sounds very clear as a word itself, but then wouldn't make sense at all, and then question, you know, second guess whether it's really what you heard.
Right. So maybe a good idea would be to listen to each channel one by one. Do you listen to the silent and non-silent regions and make all those corrections. Leave the unknowns, the ambiguities, the uncertainties until later. So go through all the channels and do that, and then you should have a context from all four speakers, and then go back and do those searches one by one for each channel. How would that be?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which
should be passage
of
my talk.
You'll know all too well what this means.
Time to time.
About
the third time, so I thought, oh, you're saying F5.
Yeah, I think that would be
anyway.
Really helpful. That would help us, nab a good number of those uncertainties.
So if there's a chance that it's equally likely that they could have said something, or they could have said something like ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Then just choose one and leave it.
Choose one. You think of it from a speech recognition point of view again, and always this should
robust.
Motivate you. Yeah. What is most robust for speech recognition? And leave out.
We just started our speech recognition assignment.
So you're well geared towards this task. So I've got something.
Oh no, I don't want to interrupt.
Oh no.
When I did my master's, I took SP1 and SP2 with 7K.
You survived SP1 and SP2.
Yes. And actually, I've done quite well in SP1. If it works in SP2, because it was a lot more challenging.
We have two new teachers for SP2.
Okay.
Two new.
And. I'll ask you later on, like, so I know it's
okay. Back to the topic.
Okay, so this is one I've gone through. I've just done one channel. And there were lots and lots of things, as you can see, because I've got the square brackets around all the things that need to be changed. So this person didn't know about capitalization. So just about every utterance needs to be capitalized and needs end punctuation.
You know when you get like someone's talking and there's sort of pause in the middle of a sentence, it's long enough for it to put a break in, but they're actually sort of carrying on the sentence. Do you have to capitalize each time you transcribe a bit?
No. Whatever makes sense to you.
Okay.
but no, it can
yeah.
continue into the next segment and
so
that's perfectly fine.
That's actually the only case that you don't. Or you're not supposed to capitalize, right?
Right.
So if it's quite clear that the sentence is being carried on, the sentence for the previous segment is being carried on, then that's when you don't capitalize.
I only use a hyphen, I think, when the sentence is definitely not continuing anymore.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I've never heard those wrong ones.
I'll review some of these things after I go through this a bit, just to recap. These are things that after checking everybody's work, these are things that were commonly left out or mistranscribed, whatever. So I'll go over those as an opportunity to use the whiteboard. okay, so this person left out a lot of end punctuation, and here's a case where I think she was transcribing an out-breath. Or possibly in breath, and use the hash mark. In any case, I didn't hear anything, and you shouldn't be transcribing in breaths or out breaths.
Okay.
That's information we don't need.
Like before, I have to reuse the meetings from the minutes from the last meeting.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, this is the headset. Mike, I heard something. It was a
gritty voice.
Yeah, it was pretty. So
it's really connected to the words.
Yeah.
And
you
sometimes
don't know whether it's
Mike's
noise or
that
person's.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think it was.
And so here we go. Oh.
Hello.
Like before, we I have to reuse meetings from the mi-
Yeah,
from
this is actually quite a bit more in there than
From
before. This
the
is so I heard a creaky voice and it was audible of the level of the rest of the speech, so I would keep that. I think that's good. Oh, okay. I was adding that. That's what I was doing. That makes sense. Okay. There you go. So there's things like that. There's a missing false start here, that didn't get caught.
Meetings from the minutes from the last meeting.
So I added that in. So that's something that's quite common in the transcriptions I've looked at. Missed false starts, missed.
And how exact do you have to be there? Because some people tend to stutter more than others, and then they would have a false start 4 or 5 times in a row. And how important is it to listen to it really until you've got the exact number of the things right?
Try to get it right.
Yeah.
I think syllables should be accounted for.
Because
Correct.
sometimes they go like that, and then you have
Yeah,
this wrong
well, don't
thing
let
to
it drive you
actually
crazy because there is one speaker, Melissa just played for me today, and he stutters horribly. It's unfortunate for us. It's really going to be a nightmare to transcribe, so you will have to drive it in somewhere. But if it's, say, four repeated, the word is repeated 4 times, then that's not too hard to count. I haven't come across something that's been. I haven't come across anything exceeding 4, I don't think. Have you?
Well, it's not that the word is, if the word were, the whole word were being used 4 times, that wouldn't have been that difficult. But sometimes it's just a false start, which is really just maybe one or 1.5 phones, and then repeat it, and then you don't really know whether one is a long duration of one or whether it's actually two. And that kind of thing. So I think it was worth starting with D, and the person was going
Yeah. Make your best guess.
Yeah.
Try to listen to it carefully enough, but not so that you're obsessing over it for too long, I would say.
And sometimes with the this, you're thinking, are you anticipating the, or you're trying to say the, and you're just saying
Right.
the.
Well, there again, think about robustness in speech recognition. It really doesn't matter. It's a word fragment.
Well,
You're marking it as a fragment, and that's what's important.
Yeah.
Speaking about robustness, that if somebody has an accent that you can only really understand what they're saying due to rote knowledge, that what they say it doesn't really actually sound at all, what it is, then do you transcribe more phonetically, or do you put a star after every single one word, or?
Wouldn't be using a star so liberally.
Yeah, that's what
For
I
a
felt that you're
non-native
not supposed
speaker.
to do, but there's one I'm transcribing right now, a whole batch of dialogues where all four participants are non-native. And there's especially one there that I think he's Eastern European, and I think that's the only reason I can understand what he's saying at all, because I'm Eastern European. And but if you would just play it, I think, to a recognizer, then what he says, the way he realizes words sounds nothing at all like it should be.
Well, right. And for that matter, a lot of native English speakers' realizations are going to be so true too.
I try to take consistency. If they always stress the wrong part of the word, then I'm like, okay, I'll let that in.
Yeah.
If it comes out in like one word, it's.
No, it's less of a stress. It's really like his I don't know, just the phoneme sounding differently.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't bother to mark all of those instances.
Well, you can't really because
Yeah, you're gonna find that for any speaker. You have to accept the realizing these things. And it's just like Fiona was saying, that the word that stands out is something really aberrant. Like, I'm thinking of I've used this example before. There's a guy who says project instead of product. And it's something like project. And it's probably just his,
recognize pronunciation
Oh, I think I've transcribed into
of
that project.
Well, they're clearly talking about a product, so I mark that as a mispronunciation or something to flag anyway.
And one guy who was saying evolution each time.
Oh, evaluation. I remember that. That one I would flag just like you did. That's something definitely to mark.
Yeah, but that's really something I would always describe it, you know, for lack of better knowledge or lack of context. And then at the end of the dialogue, it dawned on me that he actually meant evaluation. And then I went back and replaced it in the whole transcription.
That's good.
Like we have a lecture that I can never quite tell if you say problem or program.
Program.
And I can't actually say it when I'm listening to it.
I can't tell. All right. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about certain speakers.
Yeah, basically,
it's just.
I think just do your best and hope for the best.
I'm going to vote with this. Okay, so.
That'll give some transcriber headache.
Yeah.
Well, we have both headsets and lapel transcription, so not too bad.
Oops. I won't be transcribing that. Right there.
Yeah, let's have Mark transcribe.
Okay, so there have been lots of missed filled pauses. Everybody seems to miss those, some more than others. So just really keep an ear out for those.
It's easy to, because you're so used to tuning them out. When I go back over, I normally like go back to the beginning and do a quick pass of the main sections again and think,
I'm sure I missed them plenty myself. But this second pass, we should really try to catch.
Sorry, I'm just seeing this for the TV. There's T underscore V underscore. I thought we were just supposed to use the underscore between.
No.
That's what I thought the first.
Okay,
day.
Sorry, then I've done it wrong so far.
Okay. Yeah, it should be after the acronym.
You know, you standardized on the field pause of the do we need to go through a change once that people. Differently, like if like wherever an E of change all to UH.
So at this point, the only file that's been checked is Melissa, the one that Melissa did, and that was checked by me. So we're starting fresh with these, and changes like that that were just announced, we'll be able to catch these first passes.
Okay.
So yeah, if you do see something like. UHM for you can change that to the regularized version. And we just, this is arbitrary, but we had to choose something and not let it get too convoluted. choice. Here's
so if they pause just where you've got it highlighted at the moment, that one, the hyphen.
There.
So I have to redo the meetings from the minutes from the last meeting.
Was that a real definite, I'm starting a new sentence here? Because I sometimes, if it sounds like you carry on saying the whole sentence, I sometimes don't have a hyphen there.
But it is a better expression.
So it's not necessarily restarting a sentence.
I think of it in terms of, not even maybe to, it's like if you think of it in terms of a syntactic tree, it doesn't have to go back all the way to the S note, but it just it might go back to the last
just
note.
Just one to the next note. That was like somebody that didn't know about linguistics are trying to transcribe S notes.
It's just my way of knowing. Sorry, because linguistics is all I've ever known.
Here's the so that answers your question.
Sorry.
That answers your question.
Yeah.
About this one up here. Okay. Here's where I heard another div sound and another false start or stutter, I would say.
On this new remote.
Mm-hmm.
And used to send messages, of course, to the TV. It should have 9 channel buttons, next button, volume buttons, subtitle buttons.
switch to control features, color, contrast, sharpness, etc. Whatever image, what is the name? Strip any of her favorite personal features she would like see to be integrated in this.
That kind of thing. And there was a vowel in there, but you notice that she just used the donuts line.
What's
the like a thing.
What's the C? Is that a
she would like C. She
to be integrated in this new remote.
Oh, sorry.
Where are you putting that, etc.? Is that how we're supposed to be writing it?
Yes. Yes, she's so she spelled it wrong. Up here.
Oh, etc.
Yeah, so I mentioned that because of spelling. And yes, any.
Is it one word or is it two words?
It's one word.
Okay.
So I just.
When you have a citation and you say et al,
mm-hmm.
means and others et al is before, and etc. means and following. So
in the dictionary,
yeah.
It's one word.
Oh,
it
is.
If you have any questions about spellings, I think I might have sent an email to this effect. Just check the Oxford English Dictionary.
Okay.
That will be our guide. So as far as I know, this is just missing an E, cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you can. We've considered experimenting with running this through a spell check. You can take this as an Emacs file and. Spell check, but I think it would slow things down too much.
Yeah.
So just hopefully in going through this very carefully, you're going to notice these misspellings.
Yeah, I think if somebody could write, I don't know how difficult it would be in practice to write a script that would ignore all the word fragments, anything with hyphen, then the spell check might make sense. But to just use simple Emacs, it will basically mark all the word fragments.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from experience, at some point you also get negligent, you just click okay, you know, that's not
And
then you might miss a little error, so it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think you're right. So we will just hope that you catch it. That's what we'll do.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, so.
To be integrated
sorry.
In. She would like to see.
So I think she didn't catch.
She was cutting one off rather than saying she would like to see
something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think she meant to use the infinitive, but she just left off.
But since C is
an actual
full word, shouldn't there be space between C and
A space between
to be.
She would like C.
She would like C.
Actually, no, the C and the hyphen should not be used.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. That was what you were okay. There we go. I'll save that. Okay. What else? Be careful about finding mistranscriptions. So.
The
other shaped buttons. She presented also an oversized remote. Which she guarantees nobody will ever be able to lose.
So she transcribed that as wood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's really difficult. Sometimes you really don't know what they're saying. Well,
I think it's quite clear.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously.
But if it's not clear, do you just pick the more grammatical challenges or
no?
You try to keep it as
true.
But if it's really not, absolutely not clear,
then you
when they say what instead, you know, some people. When I just swallow up the last bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just let it flow?
I like to hear it,
yeah.
Because it sounds like it could be a fragment.
Yeah.
I just have to hear it. You don't want to be prescriptive and tell what you think they should have said.
Yeah.
But I do know the type of scenario you're describing. It's just hard to answer that without hearing something.
That one should be capitalized.
Yeah, they should all, I stopped marking them,
Okay.
so there's just too many, but.
Should it? Cause they lose, it's not too many from one side.
Oh, yeah,
Okay.
you're right, you're right.
No.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a yes in there.
What's that?
Okay.
But a very personal.
So another mystical start.
Favorite, really, she would very much like to see.
There is creakiness on the sheet, but you don't need to mark that as a separate sound.
Sometimes I've made butts after like those after laughter, I've made them capitalized because I'm not really sure if the laughter's been cutting everything off.
And it sounds like the laughter is just interrupting an utterance that continues
mm-hmm.
after
mm-hmm.
the laughter. I wouldn't have worry
okay.
about capitalizing.
So what about if a whole utterance is uttered while laughing? Do you put the laughter in front? Or when that
mm-hmm.
happens, what I do is I put laughter in front and the whole thing is in laughter in, you know, at the end as well.
If you hear
so.
Just laughter on
mm-hmm.
either side, yeah, do that.
No, it's laughter throughout.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have
yeah.
to. Oh,
there's some people laughing themselves silly at absolutely nothing. Well, it's been
okay, so laughter during speech.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to you later.
Because in the ICSI dialogues, they always say, you know, while laughing, and we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So they say other. So there, it's really not ambiguous whether
mm-hmm.
it's just laugh followed by a normally spoken utterance. Or whether it's an utterance spoken while laughing.
Mm-hmm.
There is a distinction there, and we don't have them.
No, we don't have any
yeah.
qual tense these, but I'll figure that one out and put it up on the wiki or email you. Good question. I'll come across that as well. Let's see.
Use speech recognizer integrated in this remote. The industrial designer.
Yeah, I don't know what that noise was indicating. We can skip on. There are other types of things I'm getting out. Let's see.
And how it would work, so you press the button, the chip is Morse code relays the physical to the generator amplification. And the circuit board is very inexpensive to build,
mm-hmm.
and so she thinks this is a great feature to consider.
Circuit. I forget if she was a person that calls circuit.
Did she say circuit? I didn't really hear that.
I'm not
so
sure.
So, did you have been tempted to say an asterisk?
If it's her, I just
circuit
caught the end
board.
Of it.
The circuit board.
No, not for that one. So,
yeah.
I had one person who said circuit.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But then I wouldn't put an asterisk on it. I thought asterisk is something where it's pronounced as a totally different word, like evaluation and evolution.
No, not necessarily. No,
yeah.
It's just something that the speech recognizer is labeled on ship up on.
Because this is a very frequent mistake that non-language speakers make.
Mm-hmm.
To say circuit.
Mm-hmm. That may be, but I probably would flag it. Depending on how different the bell sound is.
Mm.
It's going to be your call in a lot of these
something
cases.
Like I took that one because it was, well, the language teacher wouldn't like allow that to move on to the next day. They wouldn't let that pass. Sort of.
Okay.
Or I wouldn't give somebody that I'd point out to them.
Here's a case of where I found it. Of discontinuity.
She would like this whole thing should be push buttons.
Mm. But, you know, because she's a non-native English speaker, I don't know, maybe that was grammatically unmarked for her.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, maybe that wasn't her restarting. Maybe she
did that. Yes, otherwise you could have happen after every
So again, I don't know. That was my reflex at the time to put that there, but
just a prosodic marker rather than an actual whole hesitation.
Yeah.
As in that whole like
simple chip.
Right.
She would like this whole thing should be push buttons.
Oh, yes, sorry. I expect the rest of the sentence.
Yeah,
push buttons
calling.
Support.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna skip ahead.
Oh, let's see. Should be battery operated, and of course we have the special case.
So I hear she would quite clearly.
Yeah.
There.
Mm-hmm.
I think a good number of them you'll be able to resolve.
Okay.
Just helps to have the context and be able
what
to.
What condition
speak.
Would or should it resolve?
Well.
Okay.
Yes, it can be a lot of things.
The marketing expert who has to finally come up with to market this product.
So there's another case where there wasn't a space between a non-word fragment.
Mm.
And a restart. Okay, what else? There's an extra little symbol in here. It's just kind of carelessness. So even if it's something as brief as
mm-hmm,
we're going to go ahead and capitalize that. America asked me what to do in case of an utterance just consisting of laughter. Do we reuse punctuation in these cases? I haven't been.
I haven't done.
I don't know. I think it's just too silly.
It's not linguistic.
Also,
yeah.
I'm
just thinking of, you know, a letter that's consisting entirely of laughter and then putting like punctuation and like, aha.
I was going to have fun transcribing that.
So I was like, if you start the conversation in common room, right? As a laughter linguistic, then they could come up with
yeah,
you.
Okay, I mean, there just really wasn't enough to transcribe.
What I really like.
Yeah, because it was really just silent and you asking the person to just.
Yeah, so like I said, click down here just to, if you haven't learned that trick already, and that won't play in surrounding segments. So there's nothing there with transcribing.
The random yes, like with having a hyphen before because of.
Scroll up a little bit.
Uh huh.
Yeah, that looks like one from the top. As I'm going up to the back and find more places where I've had someone pausing in and saying, yeah, yeah, and then this, I've not had, I need to go back and find.
So you haven't put a hyphen
in?
Hyphen, oh, I see, yes.
Hyphens or commas?
Commas? Yeah. For
that
type of situation?
Absolutely, just something else.
Actually, when I've a couple times where they've repeated a word, I've put a comma between them. Should that be no comma?
Commas are fine.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Eventually they're going to be extracted
right.
Globally, so it doesn't matter.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Yeah, we can just. Wife and
I get quite prolific with my commas at times.
I am too. I like commas. And then Steve Ramos, his project manager, he'll look at, I think it's live transcription. What is commas doing? But he didn't, ultimately, he said it wasn't fine.
Okay, cool.
They will, they'll help in the case of discourse marking, but his point was that they're really subjective and saying
yeah.
That. Use a transcriber here.
Just to make sense of sentences.
Yeah. I really like using commas.
I read somebody's PhD proposals yesterday and said, well, if you could have a comma in here and not there.
What is cutest
coming? Oh, she spelled cutest with an I, so
oh, okay.
That's just something I pointed out. Okay, what else? So here's, let's see, and then this was
evaluation criteria.
So she typed hour, And I didn't quite hear that, but
No, no, this was an evaluation criteria.
But you can see how it could have been.
Well, if you were Cockney, then
No, no, this was an evaluation criteria.
Yeah, no.
Sometimes you get like like you're not sure if it's an A, yeah, or an
Right,
A,
and you
like
can never know, but if it fits well enough as a as an indefinite article, then
Yeah, do it.
you might as well.
So which did you dis
Oh, I was suggesting that it be instead of our.
No, no, this was an evaluation criteria, which
But
And now on these.
this
There's a balance in there.
Yeah, it's tricky. I don't know. What's this? Well, oh, sh-
Well, there's a production email.
I think there's a well there.
Yeah.
But this being the headset, you know, channel, it may make it easier to hear. She transcribed from the lapel mic.
I've had one person with a dodgy headphone where dodgy something where most of the time it's as if they've got the hand over something.
Oh god. And you transcribed that speaker entirely?
Yes.
If that comes up again,
we've got headset mic files now. In fact, they replaced all the lapel mic files on the LMM server with headset mic files, which we weren't asking them to do, but anyway, they did it. So now we don't have the lapel mic files.
Apparently the headset mic files are just a bit louder, so
right.
Probably find yourself turning the volume down considerably, but
apparently
other than that, they're just as good.
Right.
But let us know, because we can retrieve the
Yeah, some people, it actually leads to some really screeching voices because they're so loud or probably the mic is so close. I had this one, in one of the first hours I did, this guy called Ed. You could always see the waveform actually, you know, being, just hitting the boundaries on both ends and just being, at some point, just black segments. And when he was talking, there was this whole, like, you know, when you speak too close to the microphone.
I think there's a lot of people that say, is this on the mic? Hit it a few times.
Okay. I don't think I'm going to go through any more of these because I think I've gotten through most of the types that I meant to point out.
How about names that somebody says the name of somebody and they who? And then spell their name.
Right.
You heard the right name.
Right.
So, I had one guy, one of the project managers, was he had a really weird accent, and he was calling one guy Mr. Ed.
Mr.
Ed.
Ed.
And took me, he found out that it was actually Mr. Ed. No, no, but then it wasn't one word, that it wasn't like some proper name starting with M.
Mr. Ed.
I did see, I've been looking at some guidelines for another corpus, and I did see something about proper names, so I'll have a look at that on the CV.
Yeah.
How we can
but
that.
Don't you guys have this data?
What?
No, people's names, like when you
collect
yeah,
quite like possibly.
People
since it's coming from IDEALP in Switzerland, yeah, it should be easy enough to get, but it's one of those that, you know, emailing somebody to find out who knows this information.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's
No, but it's information that we theoretically have.
Yeah, because everyone signs a consent form when they participate in the experiment. So we have to be able to get
we
that.
We didn't sign one.
But we should also have a means of dealing with proper names when we don't know what it is or how it might be spelled at all, and flagging that and so I'll try to address both things.
What was Mr. again? I can't remember seeing how to
Mr.
Mr.
Oh, just type Mr. for the R. M-I-S-T. Yeah, and the same with Mrs. M-I-N-S-S.
U.S.
U.S.
Sorry.
Mrs. I was like, check the dictionary.
Mrs.
Yeah, you never type the abbreviated spelling.
What if somebody calls themselves Ms.?
I'm sure there's a spelling in
yeah.
OED, yeah.
So, what about foreign words? What do we do when they're checking if we come up with something?
Oh, right, so the transcribers enclosing everything in carrots.
Yeah.
And what you would do is.
Oh, it was French, so you had it.
That's a good question, because you will be leaving question marks there.
Yeah. I mean, if it's in carrots and then there is foreign, does that matter?
it shouldn't, because things are going to be left like the asterisk will be left for the
product and
the subsequent processing. But carrots with question marks in between would have to be resolved in some way.
Or could we just change it to an app between the carrots?
Yeah.
Because it's
intelligible. Yeah, I suppose that's all we can do, really.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be polyglot.
Oh, so even if we know what the word means, we're not supposed to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If it's a foreign word and you know what it is, just enclose it in carrots.
Yeah, because I have, there's one now where I think two speakers are French, like one step in French, and I know what she's saying, and then somebody's saying to her, and she goes, come on. And then, you know that.
So yeah. If you're confident,
you
get a fair grasp on French, for example.
Or not accidentally translating the process.
Yeah. Okay. There was just one other thing. She typed okay in caps.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
O, capital K. Huge no. I don't know why she missed that in the guidelines.
Are we doing okay just as O, okay, not as a okay, A-Y?
It is okay, A-Y.
A-Y, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, it will be your job. No transcriber will be checking. No checker will be checking
their
own transcription.
Yes.
So
no transcriber will be.
We will catch these things more efficiently. And I'll just go for the board. Do I have to keep this stuff on?
Because every time somebody would be going over there, you'd hear all this sound.
The chairs moving,
and about five or six breaks in between as they're making their way there.
Okay, so I guess just for the sake of using the whiteboard, can we have a little more time?
I'll just write down the things that are most common to be checked. So, okay.
The whiteboard marker is a camera as well.
That's one.
Okay, this is a list of things to do as a checker. So you want to listen to the silent regions, then check the speech regions, and as part of that, you want to check the boundaries. And oh, by the way, this should be transcribe any missed speech. And let's see what else. Okay. And within this, checking the speech segments, you want to listen for or look for missed. Fill pauses, words in stuttering, and if you have a stuttered word, you don't need to use the hyphen to mark discontinuity. It's just
so if somebody says the, then it's just the.
Words in and false starts. Short words, make sure little words like the articles and that kind of thing don't get omitted. Short words and word fragments. Those are the commonly missed things. and look for cases of missed transcription.
Seems so silly in my mind.
But anyway. Missed transcription, so make sure if the speaker said will, you type will, not would, or if they say we, even though it might be more grammatically correct to type we're, that kind of thing. That cases of ellipsis where maybe the transcriber typed them, but really what was said was so we're going to use the apostrophe. And look for capitalization. I'm not going to do any more of this. Capitalization, spelling, use the OED to check on things you don't know about. Refer to the wiki for all regularized spellings. And things like filled pauses.
I just remembered one.
Oh, what's that?
Okay, when it's just a K, but it's at the beginning of a sentence. Should the K be capitalized?
Yeah. Well, apostrophe and then K A Y.
And then, yeah, capitalize the K.
Yeah.
And
Marta smells really bad.
I think it smells really good.
You've been doing this too long.
I used to always be listening. What else did I find? So the make sure the dash, the hyphen, whatever you call it, is being used appropriately in cases of discontinuity. But not in stuttering, like I said. and don't use it when the utterance is clearly continued in the next segment of don't transcribe in breaths or out breaths. And okay should never be too capital letters. It should be okay anyway. And one other thing is to break up long segments if you find any. So
over a minute.
Yeah, but that's a kind of crude guideline. I'd say just anything that seems unmanageable.
So if something is a minute and 3 seconds, I can still have it.
Yeah, really. It means nothing to say a minute. It's just a really crude guideline. I would just try to keep segments very manageable. But you know, use these waveforms to help you. And you can adjust the resolution so that. That didn't help me too much, but you can use this little slide bar to adjust the resolution.
Can you just click on one of the arrows?
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, and you can also, if you go to signal and it's something under signal where you can adjust the amplitude as well, or the resolution. If you go to control panel, signal control panel, the vertical zoom, you can adjust that as well, so if it seems too flat for you, you
can.
That's good.
Okay.
All right.
Nothing.
I was hearing stuff, but there was nothing on my waveform. I could find where everything was.
Yeah. Oh, that's
good.
Control panel. Yeah, so to help you make cuts, just look, you know, use this waveform and make sure you're not using any signal information. But cutting segments down is a low priority, but it will help ultimately, I think, post processing wise.
I know I've got a bit far in cutting like that at the
moment. Yeah, and don't get excessive about it, because that just ends up taking too much time. But I think from a speech recognition point of view, it shouldn't matter. The segment's been whatever the thing would be. I've seen other people's transcription guidelines for the ICSI project at Berkeley and elsewhere say, indicating that it really doesn't matter. The point is just to get it manageable.
It's easy checking it in there rather than to listen to a whole.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's the best reason for cutting them out. But hopefully, that'll be done during the first pass, because that's all making the checker's job a little easier.
And then, yeah, just be sure after you've gone through the four channels to do a search on all the unknowns, all the cases of ambiguity or whatever. And what else was I going to say? The way we'll be allocating this is the same as before. It's going to be on the same, we're allocating the same page, just further down the scroll down, you see. And I've already allocated some things to be checked. So if you went out of work, go ahead and start checking, because this is something that's considerably bottlenecked.
Right. So is this the priority then?
Yeah, I'd say for now, we don't even have much new stuff to be gone over for our first pass, so it's important that we do the second pass. And I've indicated in a column whether something is priority.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's high priority. So those would be the ones you focus on first, obviously. And when it comes, you don't want to change the file name in any way. You just keep it the same. There's going to be a checking in procedure. I don't know if anybody's mentioned this before, but you'll know about this with the CVS sort of.
Yeah.
So
well, I know about this for the summarization. I haven't done this.
Right, but yeah, similar. But they're creating a guy Jonathan is creating a web form for you to do this all very simply. Just upload everything that you've upload the file that you've transcribed.
Oh, right.
And you'll be noting whether it's the first pass or the second pass and your name as the person who did that. That will happen soon, I'll let you know.
So do we just open the file as we open the files from the first place?
Yeah, you'll have to, I would suggest creating a folder called Files to be Checked or something like that.
In your home.
Yeah, and then within that, create subfolders for the given name.
Yeah.
And you'll have to get all the sound files, unfortunately, for the internet server on your own. The AMI server is not very reliable for giving you sound files uncorrupted. So you'll have to get all the sound files from your MMM server, and the person's transcription file should be in that folder where you're putting yours.
Okay.
And then you'll just, you'll copy that over. You won't, don't move it over, because you want to have multiple versions of these things. But yeah, copy it into your directory. And keep the same name, and then when you check it in, it will automatically be registered, even though the first pass was checked in when you're doing this checking in business. It will know which pass it is, but I think it will also be indicating that as well.
Slightly connected question. Originally, when we first applied, say yes, we were doing it, it said 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the contract say 8th of May, which is longer in advance than, which is a greater amount of time than 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's actually 6, is it 3 months?
I've got a 3 month contract.
Yeah. Yeah, they're 3 month contracts. And now, if you can't keep that, that's fine. But
okay.
It's just a logistic thing with
right.
Personnel, where we have, that was the minimum.
Okay,
so so if you have to let us know as soon as you know
right.
when you're
when get to the holidays and
obviously those kinds of things and things we'll have to work around, but it's just one of those.
Just checking.
Once we actually get into the Easter holidays, because we're having lectures at the moment, can we be more flexible for hours if we know it's good?
I should think so. And the whole point of keeping, well, as long as you're able to, work out use of your computer and the other person, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
The whole point of regular hours was to make sure that somebody was here to answer questions.
Sure.
Can you put
keys?
Yes.
Yes.
So you should be able to get in during all hours if you want to.
And if they can plug microphones into Apple and Tower computers, I'm keeping it there.
Yeah. I don't see why not. As long as you're doing your instead of our yeah. And I think you'll all be paid.
Also, it is, well,
I'm having to sort
have
some
you not?
Sort some tax stuff out before I can
Mm.
send my stuff in, because I need
Okay.
to make sure I'm sending in the right form. But they wanted to know what examining board I got my A levels in.
Really?
Yeah, for human resources. I thought, surely you don't need that information. But it took me, it was about to take me half an hour. Well, it did when I was like just going through the forms and filling in all the details. I thought, I'm not going to spend a couple of hours getting photocopies of degree certificates to give you for your files if I was going to be here. Cause
That's
they want, I think
nuts.
at one place it said give us copies of degrees. Oh, maybe I'm getting mixed up with something else, but it wanted a
Wow.
A level like examining board, which seemed a bit ridiculous.
If you have any problems with that, seek Carolyn Hastings. I mean, if it's for this job and you're getting paid, that's not necessary. Carolyn Hastings, I'm gonna sort that out. But also, if pay is a matter, like there's money that you haven't gotten paid for some reason, I hope that's not the
Yeah, I haven't
case.
gotten paid for the first 2 weeks because I only have a freelance contract starting February, but I started mid-January.
Talk to Carolyn.
Yeah.
Because I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm here full time now, so
Oh, good.
I'll be here Monday through Friday. And I live at 4 now, so you won't find me anytime.
Yeah. Is your husband now a stay-at-home dad?
Yeah. Oh, so it is your baby then, I'm
Yeah. One assumes this. How old?
He's 4.5 months.
Oh, very lovely.
He's leaping through.
Yeah, that's the question I was just gonna ask you. Yeah, well, only as of Friday, actually.
Oh.
He was I was just telling Melissa this. Do you want to stop?
Are you, do you think you're done with
Yeah,
that?
yeah.
The tapes are about to run out.
Yeah.
I don't want to
Oh, good,
interrupt
that worked
your
out
chat,
well.
but
The tapes are I was telling Melissa that
Oh, so we have to pick up everything again when we
Oh,
finish this.
yeah.
Yes,
Oh,
we do.
to say that we've